Hi, this is Chris.
This is Lindsay.
This might be Kyle.
And this is John.
In the past, we have used a rather unorthodox numbering system of our first episode being episode zero and our second episode being episode one. We've decided to shake things up a little bit and go to a conventional numbering system. So there will not be an episode three. We are skipping episode three in favor of bringing our numbering to episode four. That being said, this is episode four of Marooners Talk, titled...
Oh, that's me.
That's your cue.
I'm so sorry. I want to take you for a ride. You know what? I gotta say, though, this is like the second time that I've had to sing the intro on this podcast, and I'm not getting paid.
Is it second or is it third?
I don't know.
I know you did it for a ham and mustard shake, and then I think you did it for another.
Really?
I'm not sure, but I recall more singing from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. It was not the episode where we did ham and mustard shake. It was the next episode after that, and you sang the correct line.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It. That's what happened.
Oh, this is the third episode. Damn. I bet the listeners are probably sick of my voice. I am so sorry, you guys.
Yeah, probably. Right, so take us away.
Okay, so we have some exciting news. A few weeks ago, if you listened to us when we were on the Dirty Dotty podcast towards the end, we talked about exciting news for the site that we weren't sure if we were able to say it right now. But towards the middle of the month, you know, we would probably, you know, be able to say more, in which, well, now we can. So it's the middle of the month. Hello. And we are on the cover of a game. Yay!
Woo!
Yay!
Wow, Kyle, you sound so excited.
I don't want to get too out there.
I know. No, God forbid.
Keep it on the DL.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Sim it down now. But, yeah, thanks to the amazing, that's three amazings in a row, folks at Mumbo Jumbo Games, we are on the cover of their recent PC title, Luxor, Fifth Passage. And Luxor is a really well-known PC game, so for us, this is a pretty big deal because it's also our first. And, you know, when I wrote the post on the site the other day, I did a little story about how Chris, you and I, we were inside, I think it was Target, and we were looking inside the game section, and I picked up a game, I can't remember what it was, but you know, sometimes they go ahead and have little quotes from,
We were actually at Best Buy in the
Best
Xbox
Buy?
360 section.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, they'll have like little quotes on there, like, you know, 10 out of 10 from IGN, or, you know, this is the best game ever by, you know, whatever. And I kind of said, you know, well, one day that's going to be us. Because, you know, when you're doing this kind of thing, something like that is a pretty big deal. And you know, I couldn't believe when we found out the news about it. I actually cried as pathetic as that sounds, but you know, when it's a childhood dream of yours, to work in the industry and to do stuff like this, when that moment happens, it's kind of surreal. So the other day
quick little thing, just to be fair to the listeners, you do cry pretty easily. So just so they know.
You know what?
What?
Just wait. You're going to get yours. But, yeah. it was so crazy because we went into Best Buy on Tuesday to go ahead and get our copy of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. and the first thing that we did is we went to the PC section and we looked and, you know, sure enough, there it was. And so we took pictures of it and everything. So, you know, show your support for Mumbo Jumbo Games. Show your support for us. Go ahead to Best Buy if you're a fan of Luxor, if you like casual games, if you want a fun PC game, go ahead and pick up a copy of Luxor Fifth Passage. And just so you know, I'm not being paid to say that. This is, you know, no, I mean, I probably should state that. But, I mean, this is me genuinely saying that, you know, the people at Mumbo Jumbo and their PR department, they have been so kind to us and so wonderful. You know, unfortunately, we've enjoyed, you know, pretty much every single game that they've kindly given us to test. So, I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I really don't know what else more to say other than that. I just...
How about thank you?
Yeah, I'm still blown away by it, so...
Well, now, you mentioned Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Best Buy.
Yes. Yes.
We pre-ordered our limited edition weeks and weeks and weeks ago because we wanted the steelbook case. We wanted the art book. We wanted the DLC characters when they were released and, you know, all that other good stuff. So we get there, and they don't have any of the pre-orders. They received 2 copies for each platform in every single Best Buy within a 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
And pre-orders weren't being filled because they didn't have any copies left. We ended up calling all the Targets in the area, too, and each Target only received 1 copy per platform.
Yeah.
So there were only 2 copies per store in all the local Targets. Toys R Us was out, Kmart was out, Walmart didn't receive any in the first place. So we were... frustrated, to say the least.
No, it's just, it was really frustrating because, I mean, we've pretty much any time that news has come out about the game, we put it up on the site. So we really were interested in getting our hands on the game. And, you know, I mean, we reserved the special edition for a reason. I wanted Shuma Garoth to go ahead and play because he's one of my favorites. You know, we wanted to go ahead and have the month free subscription to Marvel Online because we were thinking, okay, hey, well, with the free month of having unlimited access to comics, that can give us ways to write more about comics on the site, which, you know, in turn is beneficial for us, you know. And as soon as we get there and they're just like, oh yeah, well, we only got 2, that's like, that's a massive nerd rage moment.
That sounds like a pretty pessimistic opening day. I mean, it's not like Marvel and Capcom are kind of small unknown entities.
Yeah.
Especially with all the films that have come out in the last couple of years and all the big Avenger Cup stuff that's coming out in the next couple of years, you'd expect that to be a very popular title.
Yeah.
And Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I mean, not only have we been waiting years for the next Marvel vs. Capcom, but this has been like getting hyped since like last E3 where it won all those awards like best fighting game and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, 2 copies, that's just stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, all these other places, regardless of how many pre-orders they had, you know, they were all filled, you know, and then there was...
Only GameStop was the only place, at least around us, that managed to fill every pre-order received. All the other stores, no. Target didn't, Kmart didn't. I mean, who pre-orders at Kmart, really? But it was available to you to do so.
Yeah.
Kmart didn't get enough to fill pre-orders. Toys R Us didn't get enough to fill pre-orders. Best Buy, Target, no one did. Only GameStop.
Yeah. Well, and then a lot of people, they actually went and pre-ordered the game directly from Capcom on their website because, you know, in addition to the game, they were giving them, I guess, this really nice T-shirt. And there was this huge, huge, huge problem to where Capcom is, you know, now getting around to addressing it where... I guess there was supposedly a 99% chance that they'd get their game on release day. But a lot of people were saying that they hadn't gotten their game. You know, the next day went by, still didn't get their game. The next day didn't get by, still didn't get their game. And I was looking at it online, and I guess there was one person who lived in Jersey, and there was a distribution, a warehouse in Jersey. But yet the person's copy was shipped to Indiana, and then they had to wait to get it from Indiana all the way over to Jersey. And so a lot of people, from what I read, I think like it was either 13 or 18%. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
17%
Okay, it was 17. Okay, I remember there being a 3 in there. So yeah, 83%.
It was 83%.
Okay, yeah. So 83% they got their copy, but then there was 17% that didn't get their copy on release day, you know. And while most people will think, oh, 17%, you know, that's a small number, if you think about the popularity of the game and the amount of pre-orders across, you know, the entire United States, that adds up to a fuckload of gamers. So it's, I don't know, it's just, it's unfortunate because, you know, it's a well-known game. I mean, they have Iron Man and Thor and Captain America to tie into the games that are, I mean, the movies that are going to be coming out. But yes, I mean, those are really like the issues. So, I mean, we ended up picking up a regular copy of the game because, well, we wanted to play it and we wanted to review it. And so to go ahead and make a long story short, it was just
too late.
So, but the game, I mean, okay. So Kyle, have you had a chance to play it yet, or John?
Yeah, I actually picked it up today.
Oh, okay. What do you think of it?
I like Deadpool.
Yes.
And?
And it's a really good fighting game. I mean, pretty much my only complaint so far with the hour I've spent on it is that some people are missing that I would expect to be in it. Like original Mega Man. Where the fuck is original Mega Man? I can play as Zero, but I don't want to play as fucking Zero. I want to play as Mega Man.
Here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
The game was released with like 36 characters, I think, or 32 characters, compared to
30-something.
Yeah, compared to 40 or 50 something in the previous ones. There are only 4 characters that you can actually unlock in game, from like earning points by playing and doing training and missions and all that kind of crap. Only 4 characters. Everything else is going to end up being a DLC release, or a set of DLC releases.
Yep.
So instead of providing us with a full game for the full retail price, we get most of a game for the full retail price, and then the rest of the game at little nickel and dime.
Yeah, but it will add up to, I mean, honestly, with the costume, you know, the alternate costumes that they're going to put, which should have been included in the game, and with, you know, all the extra characters that, again, should have been included in the game, you're pretty much going to be paying for another game again.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like Street Fighter 4. As soon as I saw that the Super Street Fighter 4 characters weren't in there, but every single other classic Street Fighter character was in there, I'm like, there's going to be a Super fucking Street Fighter 4. And I'm going to have to pay for that. So I waited for Super fucking Street Fighter 4. And then I'm like, oh, $40. This is a good deal now.
Oh, yeah. I've been considering picking up Super Street Fighter 4, but it's just something about the art style that they moved to in the 4 series that I just throws me off. I don't really like it.
The painting thing?
Well, and the character design.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the whole cel-shaded thing. I mean, it was always billed as being sort of a special thing because it was so complicated to do it, but it we're capable of like photorealistic graphics almost by the time they were bringing the cel shaded thing out. So it was almost like a step backwards, and I never really bought into it. I mean, it works okay in some places, but
there's it depends on what game you're making. Like Jet Grind Radio.
Why bother?
Well, okay. Now with the cel shaded bit though, I mean, do you remember John for the GameCube when they announced Wind Waker, like originally how it was going to be Adult Link?
Yeah.
Okay, did you guys ever see the screenshots of that?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember, yeah.
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then they're like, no, we're going to scrap it and make it cel-shaded. Yeah. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so I never bought the game. The
graphics actually, I've got it, and I've played through it, and the graphics are actually less good than Ocarina of Time. As a, why would you mess with a sort of your perfect Zelda game?
Yeah.
Well, what they wanted to do, that they wanted to make like an interactive cartoon instead of like a fully, you know, 3D realistic game. So, in that regard, they completely succeed because it looks like an interactive cartoon. Now, the problem is a lot of people didn't want Zelda to be an interactive cartoon. They wanted Ocarina, but better.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, like cell shading in Borderlands, it's absolutely fantastic. In Borderlands, it's really, really well done.
And 13 as well, I had that on the GameCube, and that was...
I remember that game.
So it seemed to be like it was like one of these fashions like you get with all kinds of other media where they've suddenly gone, oh, they've done that. Let's copy it. Why not? It seems popular.
You mean like 3D movies?
It's popular because it's like a good game and it happens to be cel-shaded. It's not a good game because it's cel-shaded.
Right,
the whole
3D
thing is an utter nonsense, really. it's got to that point where Sony and who else is it that's really, really massively involved in it? But specifically Sony, they've been on the rocks. Well, not on the rocks, but they've been struggling financially for a little while, and they seem to have plunged all this money into developing 3D. So it's damn well here to stay, whether anybody likes it or not, because they've already put too much money into it to say, actually, it's a bit sucky. Let's not bother. So it's all going to be 3D TVs from here on out, pretty much, whether anyone wants them or not.
It's terrible.
I could do without 3D.
Me too. Well, here's the thing. I see 3D in real life.
My eyes are a bit funny. My right eye's significantly weaker than my left. So even with my glasses on, 3D doesn't really work properly for me.
Mm.
So I don't want to have to pay extra for movies or games or whatever because it's in 3D when I can't actually see it properly in 3D.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that you kind of wonder, though, like how many other people that are out there that, you know, they might not know that they have that problem with 3D just because they've never experienced it, you know, and then they go ahead and they waste all this money and they're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
I kind of am interested in the new Mortal Kombat being in 3D. I mean, that I just want to see at least once.
The movie?
The new game coming out. Oh, they said it's going to be in 3D. So, like, 3D fatalities and stuff. I mean, that just seems kind of neat. Although I won't be rushing out to buy a 3D TV just to play fucking Mortal Kombat.
Right.
No.
we're quite happy with our TV.
I probably would if he could afford it. But, as a friend of mine at university when, what was the last one? Was it Armageddon? The last format. He sat and he played through the arcade, all 64 characters, and ended up then spending sort of months just sitting playing the Mario Kart kind of thing that it had on it as a bonus game.
Hmm.
On the cards. And he was hooked on that game for months and months and months. So he's very excited about the next Mortal Kombat coming out.
I loved Deception. That was a gangster game. I can't wait for the next Mortal Kombat to come out. Like, I follow Ed Boon on Twitter, and I see, like, all the little comments that he says about it, and I'm just like, oh my god, Ed Boon. Oh my god. Like...
I actually pre-ordered new Mortal Kombat today when I got Marvel vs. Capcom, and I'm totally getting it for PlayStation 3. Because it has Kratos on it.
Yeah.
And he just fits in so well with Mortal Kombat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to add somebody for Xbox.
Presumably, they will.
I don't know.
Because all your main big sort of well-known franchise characters are all sort of soldier.
Yeah, they're Space Marines. Space Marines don't fit in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you got Master Chief, you've got Marcus Fenix.
Well, I think if they want...
Guy from Crackdown.
No, I think when you're talking about Master Chief, I think if they made Master Chief almost like a Cyrax character, that it would work.
Yeah, I guess that could work.
Yeah, like Cyrax and Sektor. It could work. See?
Strike has got a machine gun as one of his special moves. And I think Jax does in some of the games as well.
Yeah. I liked Jax. Something like,
I just like the fact that in the web series they're going to be doing, Jax is going to be played by Black Dynamite.
Well, and then wasn't he the same guy who was Spawn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then it's all
Have
good.
You seen Black Dynamite?
No.
You guys got to see Black Dynamite. that is a hilarious movie. And as long as we're plugging hilarious movies, go out and watch a movie called Mystery Team. That is the funniest thing I have seen in months.
Mystery Team.
It's about like a, you know, like a Hardy Boys group of kids. You know, when they're like 11 or 12 years old, they go around and solve mysteries and everyone's like, oh, it's the Mystery Team. Except now they're like 18 years old and about to graduate from high school and they're still doing the same thing. And all of a sudden they get involved in a murder mystery.
What?
And they'll talk and act like they're 11 years old still and they refuse to swear. Then shit like that. It's just fucking hilarious.
Damn.
Sounds good.
And
then we're going to have to watch that.
They have the Master of Disguise, the toughest boy in town, and the boy genius. And the boy genius is only a boy genius because he got a book of wacky facts when he was 12 years old and memorized everything in it.
That's hilarious.
It's like, hey, shoot, do you think you could hit that guy with your slingshot? And he's like, I'm only aiming for the longest human bone in the body that's above the waist. I think I can hit it.
So, I mean,
Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you know, I've been playing a lot of, I mean, Deadpool is my primary. He's in every single team I create, no matter what. And then I've been switching off Ryu, Akuma, and Sentinel for the most part in my final two slots. I think I'm going to start messing around with Magneto because he has this really great move where he can attract his opponent towards him and then combo that with another attack. So I think I'm going to start playing around with him, see if I like him as well.
You know what I kind of want for Deadpool? And I know this is really stupid to want, but I kind of want a costume variant for him that makes him look like he did in the Wolverine movie. Simply because it's that terrible to look at, and I think it'd be hilarious.
No, Kyle.
No.
You've now, gone to that bad place.
The costume variant I usually use for Deadpool is... go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, I want to play as Baraka-pool.
I usually use the right bumper when I... Well, for me, it's the right bumper on the 360 when I select him, because it puts him in a complete black and white, almost like he's in a black and white cartoon costume, which is
well, he really looks like the Black Spider-Man.
No.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
When he's in the black costume, it reminds me of Spider-Man.
Okay. He doesn't look like Spider-Man, but it's nice that he reminds you of Spider-Man.
Fuck you, asshole.
There's a really great counter special. He has a counter hyper that you can't use you can't use it effectively unless you use it as you're countering someone else's attack. And he'll, you know, kind of saunter over to his opponent, grab the health bar from the top of the screen, bash the opponent, and then reach down and grab the hyper combo bar from the bottom of the screen and bash the opponent.
Yeah, that's how he beat me today.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck you, Wade.
No, I've been having a lot of fun playing with Wesker. I'll do Wesker and Dante, and then my third, I'll switch it around sometimes. I like to bring out the titties and play with Morgan. Or sometimes...
Always a fine choice.
Well, I mean, you know, she's hot. Yep. Or I've played as Phoenix, and she is powerful. Her health is crap, but there's this little trick where, okay, so if you select her as like your third character, you get your charge up to the maximum, your bar, and then you go ahead.
You get your hyper combo meter up to 5.
Yeah, and then you go ahead and then you bring her in, you let her die, and then she'll become Dark Phoenix. And then, you know, I mean, her health like goes down while she's in that mode, but she could kick some ass.
Well, when she regenerates as Dark Phoenix, her health is fully regenerated, but right. It starts just going naturally depleting.
Yeah.
Although Phoenix and Dark Phoenix have a move called the Healing Sphere or something like that.
Yeah.
That surrounds them with this big orb of energy. And as long as your opponent is inside that orb, Phoenix or Dark Phoenix is constantly healing. So the trick with Dark Phoenix is to activate the orb and then go in close. So you're healing while you're dealing additional damage.
Yeah. So it's just it's nice, but I don't know. I mean, it's like part of me likes the game, and then the other part of me doesn't like the game just because like there's a lot of characters that are missing, and I don't really feel that I should have to pay extra to go ahead and get characters I like when there are a lot of characters that came with the game that I didn't like. So I mean, it's kind of just like, well, can you take those away and then swap? And then, you know, it's like an even exchange, which, I mean, yeah. I know it's impossible, but
also, gotta think like a lot of games, when the sales go down a bit and so they've had DLC up, they'll release a version that's got all the DLC with it. Like there's, you can get, Grand Theft Auto 4 with both the download packs in. You can buy Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 with the map packs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So are they not going to sort of wait 6 months and then bring out a new version for the regular retail cost with all the extra characters in there as well?
Oh, it's funny you say that, because BioWare did that to us with Dragon Age. But
well, every I mean, that happens with a lot of the big games. I mean,
now,
with Oblivion,
yeah,
with Oblivion, the Game of the Year edition came with all of the DLC, which right. if you purchased Oblivion full price in the first place and then purchased all the DLC after that, you know, you'd be in the same mess that we were in with Dragon Age.
You know, I remember a time when Game of the Year edition only applied to PC games.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just it's shitty because PC, they get all these free updates and they get all this crap for free. And then, you know, they also have it to where with PC games, how you could do fun stuff like modding. Like, and I'm talking like legal modding. But, you know, and then console, it's just like, oh, wait, you want that free update that PC players got? Oh, it's going to cost you $10. I'm like, seriously? Are you kidding me? So, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I'm liking the game, but I'm not liking the game. I don't like how the online is handled when you go inside a lobby because, you know, it's kind of like King of the Hill where one person, if they keep winning, you know, they'll stay at the top and then, you know, you bump up a slot, you bump up a slot, but you can't even see what's going on.
I both like and dislike that part. I like it in that it's actually fun. I mean, you have one person who is King of the Hill until you beat them, and then whoever beats them becomes King of the Hill, and it's just, it's a way of having a never-ending string of someone always fighting. However, if they also had another kind of lobby where you could just put 8 people in there and everyone could kind of match up with whoever they wanted to, and you could have multiple fights going at a time.
Right.
That would be a lot more fun for multiplayer.
Well, I think that you should also be able to, like, to spectate. Because, I mean, if you join and you're the 8th person in there, you have to sit through all those matches ahead of you before it's your turn to fight. And then if you lose, you have to go right back to the bottom and then wait. I mean, it's like purgatory. Pretty much.
Yeah, that part is pretty annoying.
No, I mean it is, because you sit there and then not everybody talks, so you're kind of just sitting there like, dur, 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 I'm just waiting for my turn, you know, and you can't even see what's going on.
Sorry, how do you sit there?
Dur, dur, dur. Fuck you. That's not nice. Making fun of me. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wish that. My favorite part of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was, you know, going in and almost like grinding in the game just so you could go ahead and get the points. So you could use the points and then go ahead and apply it to buy stuff. And I mean, you know, now that's gone. Now all it is that it's just like when you reach a certain point level, it automatically unlocks for you and you can't even like decide, you know, what it is that you want to go ahead and get. So I don't know. It's like I like the game. I have issues with it. I wonder if my disappointment is because of overhype or because, I mean, it genuinely is flawed. So, I mean, I really don't know. Speaking of hype, the Dead Island.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me feel like the Kool-Aid man.
Dude, like, how
Randy
awesome.
Savage.
Oh yeah.
Step into a Slim Jim and get some Kool-Aid. Because we're the same person, apparently.
Oh man. But no, dude, Kyle, you put up the trailer on the site. I think, was it yesterday?
I think so. Yes.
I think it
I
was.
don't remember breakfast.
Okay.
So.
No, that's fine. But did you like it?
Oh yeah. Oh God, I gotta stop saying that. Yes, I did like the trailer very much. I'm trying to watch my words now. The really surprising thing is for a zombie game, it's very emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, and plus, like I said in the write-up for the trailer,
Yeah.
like what I actually wrote down there, this thing came out of nowhere from
Yeah.
a developer and a publisher that has never done anything of the caliber this looks like. And like, if this came from the people that made like Left 4 Dead or the Dead Rising people or something like that, or even like Rockstar or Sony or something like that, I'd be like, oh, look, it's another high quality game from them. But this thing just, like, Wednesday or whenever this thing dropped, it just came out and it was like, holy crap, all of a sudden there's a new game I have to buy at the end of the year. And I have heard nothing about it up until now.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I mean, and it was just like, oh, hey, by the way, check out this fucking awesome trailer. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're Deep Silver. Have you never heard of us? Oh, well, you do now.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it
Fuck you.
is a cinematic trailer. It's not
Right.
exactly a gameplay trailer, so the end result may be something completely shitty.
Point indeed. But two things. One, they have set a bar very high now with just the cinematic quality of the trailer, so the gameplay better damn well match up with that. Number two, the things that they put out, you know, about the game that we haven't actually seen yet. It's got RPG elements. It's an open world first person game. You don't have a lot of guns, so you have to rely on melee combat. And the melee combat takes a page from Dead Rising 2, where you find things and then you mash them together and make better weapons. I mean,
Nice.
you get to develop a character throughout the campaign. Like, it's pretty much. Oh, and you can have four people join up at any time during the game. It's pretty much the best of every single great zombie game that's come out in the past few years, mashed all together.
That
So,
does sound really awesome.
You
yeah,
know what?
if everything works out the way it's promised, this is definitely a Game of the Year contender. They
Well,
just better damn well deliver.
yeah, no, it's, oh my God, it is so like coincidental that this has happened because, okay,
This
sweetie,
is when we were on the Dowdy podcast.
yes, yeah, like, okay,
Yeah,
when
I
we were
was
on the
already
Dirty,
thinking about that.
yeah, when we were on the Dirty Daddy podcast, they were talking about like zombie games and they're just like, why can't it be like realistic, like an RPG game where it's survival and where it's this and where it's that? And they're just like, somebody come out with this game. Hello.
Turns out they've been working on it for a few years.
Yeah, and
They
like
must have
nobody
been,
knew.
yeah.
Tell anyone.
Yeah. So that's like, hello, best kept secret. I mean, and it's going to be at E3. It's going to be at PAX. Like I'm already working on getting us into a thing for it at PAX. So
Oh.
yep. I'm already on it, Kyle. You get to check it out for
Well, and what
us.
really sucks is that I think it was Chupacabra tweeted that they're looking for a few extra volunteers for
Yeah,
GDC
GDC.
to demo the game because they ran out of people to sit and demo.
Yeah.
And
Which,
we're not going
no.
to
I'm like, dude, I would love to, but I can't.
go.
Maybe E3. I just keep thinking
Maybe.
E3, E3, E3. So, yeah, I want it. Now, Kyle,
Yeah.
you put out an article about Arcade Hard this week. And I remember last week we were talking about Contra and Hardcore Uprising, and then the game it actually came out, and we had a chance to play it. So it was very nice that that article of yours came out when we were going to go ahead and do the article for this, because it's part of the House Party Xbox Live arcade event that's going on right now, which is going to have Hardcore Uprising, Torchlight. Bejeweled
Beyond Good and
Blitz,
Evil
yeah,
HD.
Beyond Good and Evil HD, and then the Full House Poker, yeah, I think that's what
Yep.
it is, yeah, But yeah, so I mean, we played Hardcore Uprising. So, I mean, have you?
Well,
what?
What?
Oh, go ahead.
What do you mean? Well.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, I know Kyle, I know that you don't have a 360, but
no, I don't have a 360 that can go online. My dongle's broken.
My dongle. I'm sorry, that just sounds so dirty. My dongle is broken.
That's why I say it that way.
But I mean, so I mean, obviously you haven't played it, but John, do you have a 360 and have you checked the game out or?
I've not yet. No, I've not read anything about it. I'll have to get onto that tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
Well, do you like? Have you ever played any of the old Contra games?
I haven't actually. No.
Oh, oh. All right.
Hey, that's do you like know a of bit them? Of... Yeah, I've heard of them, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, essentially, it's just a run and gun. You go through the screen, killing everything and avoiding damage as best you can, which yeah. is difficult.
Which you can't.
Yeah. And Hardcore Uprising really follows the Contra model. I mean, it is difficult to get through.
Now, here's a question.
We ended up... Sorry, go
is
ahead.
The Contra code in it?
No.
Nope.
Why do they never use that anymore? It's a perfectly good code. It's the code.
It's a perfectly good code, yeah. And I tried it a few times in different stages, different settings, trying to get it to work, and it doesn't work. The thing about Hardcore Uprising is there are two modes. There's arcade mode and there's rising mode. Arcade mode, it takes a page from some of the Japanese Contras where you actually have a health meter. And you can take, you know, 3 hits before you die. You start off with 3 lives and 5 continues. And that's it. You can pick up 1-ups every now and then along the way, but they're very rare. And so you're stuck with that setup, and that's it.
So in basically you won't mode, beat the game like that.
Pretty no. much, yeah. it's for masochists. Rising mode, however, is more like an RPG where you earn... points. Yeah, you earn XP or points for every kill, and then in between levels you can level up your character with purchases. You can purchase extra lives, you can purchase extra continues, you can purchase little bonuses so that every time you pick up a power-up it's automatically leveled up to level 3, for example. You can increase your speed, you can get a triple jump, blah blah blah. One of the purchases you can get is a 30 life purchase, like the Konami code would have been. But those upgrades, yeah, those upgrades only apply to rising mode. They don't carry over to arcade mode.
See, that's kind of what I was talking about in the article. Like, there's the original mode where you get like the certain number of lives or the unlimited drop a coin in thing,
right?
Exactly like the old arcade game, but they should also include things like with the Scott Pilgrim beat 'em up arcade game where you get like experience points and you level up and you learn new combos and stuff. It's basically the arcade formula with modern day, you know, extravagancies put into it. And I think that's the best way to handle arcade games nowadays, because the arcade just really doesn't translate well to the home console I'm seeing.
Not directly, no.
Yeah.
I agree with the points you brought up about X-Men, how there really isn't a lot of consequence. You just, then I do the exact same thing. I'll spam all the special powers until I have 1 bar of health left. I'll die, and then I'll regenerate, and I'll start spamming my special abilities again.
Yeah, nothing moves the blob except for a rejuvenated Cyclops who can fire lasers at you again.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, in addition to the hard, the really, really, like, hella difficult, Hardcore Uprising. Let's see, Beyond Good and Evil. That should be really fun. You know, and then all the other ones. I mean, I'm really looking forward to all the other titles that are going to be coming out. But, you know, it kind of makes you wonder that with, like, 3 good games that are going to be coming out next week, next Tuesday, we're going to have Bulletstorm. We got Killzone 3 and Radiant Historia for the DS. I don't know. It's like everybody's going to be stuck playing Bulletstorm. They might not want to go ahead and get an Xbox Live Arcade game, you know?
Well, everyone should go out and purchase Beyond Good and Evil. Actually, that's a command. Everyone listening to this, go out and purchase Beyond Good and Evil. It needs your love. It didn't get it the first time. This is the time to make up for your poor purchasing decision. Decision of not purchasing Beyond Good and Evil when it was out for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox and GameCube.
It was a highly praised, critically at least, game when it first came out. It just didn't really get a lot of consumer love.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's going to have a hard time, though, because, I mean, you know, like I said, Bulletstorm comes out next week. Killzone 3. I know a lot of people who are, you know, have been waiting to go ahead and get their hands on the DS game Radiant Historia by, excuse me, by Atlus. I don't know.
On the other hand, with the prices of those games, not everyone is going to be able to afford them. So it's Beyond Good and Evil would be a very nice, very cheap, actually, ridiculously well-priced game.
That's true.
For what it is, on Xbox Live.
That's true. You know, or they can also go ahead and get Bejeweled. Bejeweled Blitz! Oh, man, that game's going to be so much fun. Yeah. Sorry. I know, I'm getting all excited. Yeah, I'm getting all excited about it. Okay, so there's something that I need to talk about. And it's something that's amazing. And
your anger will make you strong.
Shut up, sweetie. No,
Kyle, we're getting into the Smallville discussion now. Where
I know,
last week,
I'm taking my pills.
Yeah, last week, Lionel Luthor was the Emperor, and
what?
Lex Luthor, well, your hate will make you strong, your anger will make you strong.
He was not the Emperor. Shut your face.
Just another, whatever. Anyway, I'll leave you to talk about your little show now.
It's
sorry,
good news. It's good news. It's good news. The news is that Michael Rosenbaum has officially said that he will be returning as Lex Luthor on the series finale for Smallville. Fans have been wanting him to come back ever since he left. I think it was in like season 7, like at the very end of season 7. And everybody's been wanting for him to come back. Everybody is saying that you can't have the final season of the series without having Lex come back. And then I think it was like a week before they were saying, you know, oh, he's not coming back. You know, I guess it was some, I guess it was bogus reports saying, oh yeah, you know, he's moved on from the show, this and that. And all the fans were pissed because they're saying, you know, well, how dare he? He's Lex. We have to have the series finale with the proper Lex. You know, the show made him, it gave him popularity and, you know, grumble, grumble of the internets. So he has announced that he is going to be coming back. I personally am so excited because I thought that he did a really good job as Lex. And I'm just, yay, excited. Sorry.
Two things.
Right.
One, Lex Luthor is the only thing I care about on Smallville ever. He did a very good job, and that's pretty much what Lex Luthor is supposed to be. I mean, he thinks he's the good guy, and he thinks Superman is the bad guy, the evil alien who's eventually going to turn on us, and he's protecting the world by being an asshole towards him.
See?
So right. that was done very well. Number
I agree
two,
with that.
Aren't they making Lex Luthor clones?
He is a
some
clone.
Kind?
He is a clone. What had happened is that Lex, he went and he cloned himself because he got into that accident or whatever to where like his body was disfigured or something like that. And so if I remember correctly, he went and he was cloning them. I can't remember the reason why now because it's been like so long. But he had like a bunch of clones and the clones, they weren't right. And so they kept dying and getting deformed. And so this clone that's alive right now, he has all the memories of real Lex, but he's growing at such a rapid rate, and he also has superpowers.
So it's actually Superboy then, because that's the origin of Superboy. Kal-El is a clone of Clark Kent and Lex Luthor matched together.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, this is actually going to be Lex Luthor. It's not going to be Superboy.
But Superboy is going to show up on the show. I read that as well.
Oh.
Which leads me to conclude one possible thing. Supergirl is on the show.
Yeah.
Superboy is on the show.
Yeah.
Crypto the Superdog is on the show. But Clark Kent can't fly and isn't in his costume yet.
Whatever, Kyle.
It's just wrong.
You're wrong.
Again, the only thing that is exactly how it happens is Lex Luthor.
Yeah, his motivations are correct.
I don't know. I mean, say what you want about the show. Yeah, I was going to say what you want about the show. Michael Rosenbaum, he did a damn good Lex Luthor.
Plus, fun fact, he was the Flash in the Justice League cartoon.
Really? Yeah.
I believe so, yes. And he was awesome.
Huh. Well, and he was also in that one movie, what was it, Sorority Girls or whatever?
That was not awesome.
Yeah, he was in that movie.
Here's the thing. The only reason Kyle mentioned that he played the Flash in the Justice League cartoon is because the Flash is actually relevant to Superman.
Hey.
Sorority Boys, on the other hand, is absolutely irrelevant to Superman.
He was in Dragon.
So, yes.
Give
again,
me long enough and I'll irrelevant. Find the connection.
I'm going to open up IMDb right now and see what I can find.
Yeah, seriously. I shall
find it. Go internet.
Well, no, speaking of comics and movies and IMDb, Tears of a Feather, that's their username on, I think, like, everything, on Twitter. It's all one word. One of Austin's friends, they wanted us, I don't know if it was so much of a question or more of a topic, the Ghost Rider series, the comics versus the movies. Sweetie, you haven't seen the movie. I've seen the movie. Kyle, you've seen the movie. And John, did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. So, sweetie, I'll ask you. I mean, what do you think about the comics versus the movies of Ghost Rider?
Well, as you said, I haven't seen the movie. I didn't really read much about the comics. I haven't read too many of the comics. Mm. I just know some basic stuff about Ghost Rider.
Okay.
From what I've read about the movie, it really handled the origin badly. And it was Nick Cage doing bad Nick Cage, not good Nick Cage.
Yeah.
So that's really all I need to know.
Yeah.
I think I've only seen one film where he does good Nick Cage. I can't think of any films other than Bad Lieutenant. Where is any good?
National Treasure was okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we watched National Treasure 1 or 2 last week. Gone in 60 Seconds
was a good one.
Yeah, Nick Cage is good in one out of every six movies he's done. And both of those in the last decade have been National Treasure movies.
Yeah, seriously. Well, actually, no, I take that back. In Kick-Ass, that bit part in Kick-Ass, he did good in that.
I did like him in that, but he seemed like he was deliberately overacting. I don't know.
I thought the movie's called Kick-Ass. Yeah.
It's a goofy, over-the-top comic book movie.
Yeah.
It ends with a kid on a jetpack. I'm like, okay, movie. You officially jumped the shark, shot it in the head, had sex with your mother, and then orbited it into space and thrown it in the sun. Good job, Kick-Ass. I'm entertained now.
Well, no, I thought it was good, though, because, well, first off, they set Nicolas Cage on fire. But second of all, like, I did get a little weepy, like, at that time where he was just like, you know, no, you go and you save yourself. It's fine. And stuff like that. I was like, you know what? I believe you, Nick Cage. That's some good acting.
Go, little girl who I've trained since infancy to become an assassin. Go do your thing.
Yeah, seriously. But,
what are you doing?
No, with the Ghost Rider, though, like, all I remember...
Oh, quick little note.
What?
I suppose if we want to make some sort of connection from from Smallville to Sorority Boys, in some way that's relevant, one of the very, very secondary or tertiary stars of the movie is Brad Grunberg, brother to Greg Grunberg,
who was on
Heroes. So that wraps that relevance back around to something at least superheroic.
See? I knew I had something going when I mentioned that movie.
It's a... Yeah, you didn't
agree
have
with
anything
that,
going.
You can let this topic go now.
Oh, man.
I'm okay with that.
Yes, that's okay. Moving on over here again.
No, but the Ghost Rider, I don't really know too much about Ghost Rider. I think I've only read maybe like 2 comics about Ghost Rider in my entire life, and that was only because like years and years and years ago, you're able to go ahead and buy like a big box of comics, and that would have like a bunch of different random issues. And when I was a little girl, I ended up getting a couple of those boxes because I saw that they had X-Men in them, and so there were a couple Ghost Rider comics, and so that really is like the most I got from it. But the movie itself was pretty bad. I mean, there was like the cemetery guy, I remember him, but then I don't remember how. All I know is that it was bad, and I can see scenes of the movie like in my head, but I don't really remember the story, which that's not really a good sign. So, I mean, Kyle?
Yeah. They're completely different, pretty much. The comics and the cartoon, or the comics and the movie. Like, it's just little things to start with. Like, okay, his origin. His adoptive father in the comics, not his actual father, his adoptive father gets the cancer and stuff from all the smoking. The movie's okay until that part. But Johnny Blaze actually goes and looks for the devil. He doesn't just find him. Like, this is one of the stupid things about Ghost Rider. It's like the comic starts and you're a few pages into it, and Johnny Blaze is like, oh man, my dad's dying. How am I going to fix this? I know, Satan! And it literally says that, Satan! And then he's like drawing a pentagram, and I'm like, what? This is a jump? Okay, Johnny Blaze, you want to summon Satan. Good for you. This won't end badly. So, and then the devil does the exact same thing he does in the movie, you know, except in the movie, he gives Johnny Blaze a little contract and he accidentally cuts his finger and the devil's like, oh, deal signed. And I'm like, no, he didn't agree to anything, but okay, the movie has to get going. And then the devil cures his dad's cancer. And the devil's like, okay, I fulfilled the deal. Next day, the dad dies in a car crash. And the devil's like, I cured his cancer. By the way, your soul belongs to me now. Goodbye. And then he, you know, turns into the Ghost Rider and stuff. And then the stupid stuff really starts in the movie. Because it's like years later, and Johnny Blaze is an adult. And he drinks jelly beans out of a martini glass because Nick Cage was like, he wouldn't be an alcoholic because he wants to avoid the dark stuff in life. And I'm like, no, Johnny Blaze is a very dark and tormented person who can't get over the fact that he sold his soul to the devil for some reason.
Oh, isn't he kind of like an evil Knievel?
Yeah, he's a stunt rider.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know they had.
I remember. Okay. No, it's all coming back to me now. Okay. Yeah. And then it's at nighttime where he changes, right? Isn't it like when the sun goes down?
In the original comics, I think it started like a nighttime thing. I haven't read a ton of Ghost Rider. I know enough to talk about it intelligently.
Yeah.
But the original change was at night, I believe, kind of like how the Hulk originally started turning into the Hulk at night. And I mean, the movie really gets bad when he turns into Ghost Rider, because then the villains come in, and the villains in the movie are so friggin' stupid. You got the air and the earth and the water demons, and the fights with them last all of a minute each. And then Ghost Rider's like, oh, okay, I'll use one of my powers, and he's immediately dead, the end. And I'm like, that's not exciting, or interesting, or challenging, or coherent. But one of the things they did do really cool was the penance stare, which actually came from the second Ghost Rider, who was not Johnny Blaze, who got his power from a magic hubcap, or gas cap, or something. And no, I'm not going to explain that. But yeah, the penance stare is the Ghost Rider looks into someone's soul and makes them experience all the evil things they've done in their life 100 times over.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's actually pretty well done in the movie, because that's a really creepy power to use. And fun fact, I believe the Ghost Rider did that to Galactus once in the comics. And Galactus eats worlds, so that would have to hurt.
Well, no, that depends. Galactus doesn't believe that his world eating is evil.
Yeah, but he's killing things and, like, innocent, intelligent beings. I guess it only counts intelligent beings, otherwise people would feel bad about eating a hamburger.
Right.
But, yeah, it totally put a whammy on Galactus, as far as I remember. And they also adapted that from the Fantastic Four cartoon, I believe. Except in that one, Ghost Rider just comes out of nowhere. He's like, hey, Galactus, penance stare. And Galactus freaks out, and the Ghost Rider is like, bye. And the Fantastic Four was like, what the fuck just happened there?
Well, there was what was it, in Planet Hulk. Did you read that part of The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, Planet Hulk.
Yeah, when
he's on Sakaar.
Yeah. At the end, when he's fighting the Red King, and he has his friend Miek, like, mind-link everyone to the Red King so the Red King can know exactly and feel exactly why he's being defeated on this day. I think it's kind of like that, because the Red King says, what, I don't give a shit. You think that bothers me? I'm still going to kick your ass. In reference to Galactus, I think, okay, I ate worlds, that's how I survive, it's what I eat. What the fuck
Galactus doesn't want to hurt anyone, he just needs to feed. He knows it's a necessity, but I think he still feels bad when he has to take down an inhabited world, and that's one of the reasons the Silver Surfer helps him. He comes to the Planet Hulk planet after a while and says, Galactus, if he eats your planet, he will be able to sustain himself for like a few thousand years without needing to eat any other worlds, because your world is so rich in energy. So I'm telling you right now, Galactus is coming. I can get you guys off the planet and to a different planet so Galactus won't have to kill any of you. So, yeah, Galactus would definitely feel bad about that. But getting back to Ghost Rider now, because we've gone horribly off topic. the Nick Cage movie just got really stupid. Like, the villains, Mephisto was actually all right. He was played really creepily by... Crap, I can't remember who actually played... Peter Fonda, I think, played Mephisto in the movie.
I don't even remember him in the movie.
Yeah, the devil.
Yeah.
Well, Marvel's version of the devil. I don't think Marvel actually has a Satan. They have a bunch of demons. It's really confusing. It's the guy that stole Spider-Man's marriage. He's the bad guy of Ghost Rider. And his son goes evil, and the devil's like, hey, go kill my son. And it's just so boring.
It's like, go kill my son. That's boring shit. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, how do you make Nick Cage, whose skull is on fire, riding a motorcycle and shooting demons with a devil shotgun, boring? They did it.
Well, easy. You cast Nick Cage.
There you go.
Well, what did you think of Eva Mendes in the movie?
She's got some nice tits. Next topic. No, seriously, that's all she was there for. And, okay, in the comics, the character of Roxanne, it's actually, like, his stepsister who he falls in love with, and then his dad or his stepfather adopts him after his dad dies, and it's... They're a Southern family. So, anyway, yeah, it's actually the love of Roxanne that keeps Johnny Blaze out of hell, because the devil comes up and he's like, I want your soul, and Roxanne is like, yeah, well, I claim his soul or something because I love him, and the devil's like, crap, I can't get around that.
Which is bullshit.
That's actually why Roxanne keeps getting put into danger, is because the devil's like, I gotta get rid of Roxanne before I can get to Johnny Blaze now. But in the movie, she was just like, oh, I'm mildly interested in you. We carved our initials in a tree when we were younger. Teehee. Oh, you're the Ghost Rider now. Guess you gotta go. Bye. I'm like, oh. Well, you had some nice tits for a while there, so...
Oh my god.
That was entertaining.
Well, so, Tears of a Feather. There you go. I hope that was the answer that you were looking for. Titties and all.
Yeah. Yeah, Ghost Rider. Well. Good if you want some titties.
All right, well, we haven't really figured out our next community game night yet, again. But I'm sure we'll have it figured out early next week.
Tonight we're doing Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, and I predict either next week will be Marvel vs. Capcom again, or perhaps Bulletstorm, or something else, I don't know. We'll figure it out and we'll let everyone know.
So I guess that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyone have any last comments, thoughts?
Anything? Go watch Mystery Team.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like Mystery Team.
All right.
We'll see you guys next week.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.